the messages on screen will be added when a collaboration becomes available. This station will now be
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
I thought you were going to do the opener.
No, you said you. I said you should.
I'll do the opener and then you can do. Welcome to Mindless Banter Episode 2. Yeah. We're going to start off with an argument.
Yeah, that's the way we want to do it.
I think you should leave it like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with
that. That's exactly how it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's how all of our conversations start, with an awkward silence.
I thought you were going to tell me something.
You were going to talk. No, I was going to talk. What's going on, Cameron?
Nothing.
So
you turned. We're here to offend more people.
Yeah. Oh, man, did that turn out well last time?
Wow, you was freaking struck a nerve.
I was telling Cam last time, I'm like, you know, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories, and, like, you know, we're probably going to have somebody who kind of gets mad.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we'll just do it anyways. Yeah. Boy, was I right.
You were.
I was completely right.
You know, and the thing that's funny, and Kobe and I have talked about, conspiracy theories, I'm not saying some of them aren't plausible and that I don't kind of like, man, maybe that's like, maybe it's true.
Yeah.
It's still freaking ridiculously funny.
It is.
And
yeah.
The theory behind it is pretty much ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, you can be mad, you know, if you're like, that's your religion is one of those conspiracies.
If you're like, pray at the altar of chemtrails, that's fine.
If you can't think about, okay, what I'm thinking, I can see how somebody would think this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
then like, sorry, you're losing your mind.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny.
But I think it's funny, too.
But we're going to go at it again today.
We are. We're going to hit it hard.
See what happens.
We're going to touch some nerves. We're going to make some comments that people might not like.
Uh-huh. Just,
but that's what it is.
The regular stuff.
Stuff that guys would talk about, girls would talk about, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell girls talk about. I have no idea.
Probably not this, because guys like to have mindless banter.
They
do. Healthy.
Exactly. So it was your birthday yesterday, Cameron.
It was.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Good job. You made
it. My beard looks like 65, but.
You do have a really good gray
salt
and pepper. Yeah, you got rid of it, man. It's all, there's nothing there.
People at work were like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Are you here to clean the office or?
You're like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
You know, that's good stuff.
Thank you.
I brought you a birthday roast beef sandwich.
This is a good one, too.
Yeah. That was
one of the best that I've had at age 37.
Is it really? That's really good. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What else has been going on? You know, we hit a big milestone on Instagram.
Yeah, we did.
Late last night. We hit 10,000 followers.
We did.
Dude, it's been a dream for a while to hit that number, and we did it.
It really has. It was our goal for the year, and man, we only have, 3 weeks left?
Skin of our teeth,
and
we made
weeks.
It. Yeah, skin of our teeth.
Good job, everybody.
So everybody was following.
Thanks for spreading the word if you have. If you haven't, then go do it.
Yeah.
Or stop listening.
Yeah,
no, just kidding.
Don't stop listening. But no, thank you guys for listening or for following us on Instagram. We appreciate it. We put lots of fun pictures and stupid
crap
up there.
There's people out there that have no desire to learn anything and just have fun.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
That's what we're here for.
That's why we do this.
So not teach anything and just have fun.
I mean, there's some stuff like, I think you're going to learn some stuff today, maybe that you've never heard.
You think so?
Maybe you have, but I was pretty amazed when I researched this conspiracy theory.
Oh, man. I'm excited.
That's so funny.
I'm excited to get to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. You been doing anything else fun this week? Anything interesting?
No, I haven't.
Really?
My family's been dying of the flu and
everybody's
stomach
been sick.
Bug, and it's been a nightmare. At work, like, pretty much half the workplace is gone, so I feel like I'm working by myself.
Yeah. This is kind of like when I'm doing the podcast?
Pretty much. 90%.
Come on, that was a joke. You're supposed to You're supposed to laugh at it, man.
This week's not a funny week, okay?
It's not.
I'm not going to joke around about
stuff. He's 37. He's serious now. He's at that age.
It's time for me to get my life in order.
Yeah.
No more jokes.
Yes, sir. Man, I've been reading this book. Well, actually, I've been listening to this book. It's been freaking sweet. I'm going to have to let you listen to it after, but it's called Raven Rock.
Yeah, you were telling me about
that. Yeah, so Raven Rock, the story of the U.S. government's secret plan to save itself while the rest of us die. That's what it's called.
That's interesting.
You got it. I mean, I got to think that most people listen to this want to hear something like that.
Yeah, no, I do.
But it's pretty sweet. It kind of goes through, like, you know, all the...
You should just read it to us.
Raven Rock, chapter 1. No, it's pretty cool. It goes through, like, you know, all the bunkers that the government's built and all the plans they had in place, and then, like, you know, civil defense and all that kind of stuff. It's
I want to read it.
It's super fun.
How many pages is it?
It's like 9,000 pages. I don't know. I'm listening to it, like I told I'm only like a quarter of the way through it, but it's like 20 hours to listen to, so you probably don't want to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have more time to read than I do listen.
Do you?
Seems like. Well, maybe not. Anyway.
Okay. Cam, I found some pretty good articles for us to talk about today. And I don't know if, honestly, ever we're going to beat the fajita article we read last time.
I don't know either.
Because that sucker was
gold. I even had to go home and I'm like, Kobe make this up.
Yeah.
It's like, so geez. Ridiculous. And yeah. It was true.
Because, no, I have actually, I found a couple of them this last week, and then I had to go research them, and they were fake stories. And I'm like, yeah.
I know. It's tricky that way. That's why I was like, I got to make sure.
That one was real. That was legit, man. But, so there's
came
a couple.
Straight out of the National Enquirer.
Yeah. This one I found was pretty cool. I mean, it's not super funny, but I just thought it was an interesting thing. Ohio State University students are being treated to an unusual snacking option for finals week thanks to a new bacon vending machine. Isn't that awesome?
Really?
Yeah. The Ohio Pork Council, a trade group for Ohio pork producers, installed vending machine at the College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Sciences that dispenses cooked, ready-to-eat Smithfield, Hormel, and Sugardale bacon.
Dang, it's got Hormel in there.
Yeah, it's got all three different types. Yeah. Proceeds from the machine, which charges $1 for a strip of bacon. So you're paying money for that. That's $1. Can you imagine those seriously having a bacon vending machine? But the money's going to be donated to the school's meat science program.
I thought you were going to say all of the proceeds go to the
vegan... the defense fund or something.
Yeah, exactly. Something to like animal support group.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
All this meat money is going towards protection of
we're
going to
save the pigs. Save the pig flu or something. You know what I mean? So
that's amazing. I think I would have scored better if I'd had a
finals week.
I'm going to go get a Coke and some bacon.
Can you imagine? Seriously. No, but you could also get, you think you can get a strip
of
bacon.
So how does it cook it in there?
I don't know. I didn't see those specifics.
Is it like just you just walk by
cold.
Like, just, that smells good.
It's just like a little Mexican in there with a frying pan. I don't know why he's Mexican, but he
is. I don't need you, jerk.
Jerk. But you can either get a strip.
It's just pushed up against the cafeteria. Instead of going to the cafeteria, it's already
it won't take my dollar. Sorry, sir. And then it's like
just reaches over the top.
Machine's broken. But anyways, you can either get a strip of bacon or you can get a handful of bacon bits. Either way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So. It's like those little machines you get Skittles.
Sure. You're like scraping all the rest
out. Oh, it's greasy. There's a greasy batch. But I don't know. I just think everybody would do better at
school. That's pretty smart to have the bacon bits because you know it's just crumbs from like the dispenser of the regular bacon.
There's just a trap at the bottom.
It's just a tray and it just scoops out of it.
And then over here you can get your bacon grease.
This is delicious.
Saving this for later.
Pour some sandwich.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So anyways, I think that's genius.
That's pretty
seriously
genius.
When it comes down to it. I found something, Cameron, that I think you need to consider for Christmas presents this year.
Okay.
And it's something that I've never heard of, but I think you are really going to like it, all right? So the article says, edible anus company makes...
I'm already don't want to hear it.
...makes chocolate molds of your or a loved one's butthole.
What?
And this is completely legit. I went to their website and everything.
So what, do they pour hot chocolate in your butthole?
Look at this picture right here.
It looks like an orange on the inside.
I know, that's what I thought.
You know the wrinkles?
Those look like chocolate tangerines.
That's where you get them. That's where that mold comes from. It's just somebody's beehole that they've molded.
Oh, my God. I kid you not.
No way, man.
Yeah.
Let me see that picture again.
They have some videos of people going through this, but you got to listen to this dude's experience. Yuck.
Yuck, man.
That's yucky.
That guy's like, hey, I'm going to make some chocolate.
We're looking at a picture of this girl who's got her ass in the air.
Basically a pap, but she's inverted.
But she's inverted. So let me just read this to you because this is just fantastic. Sit down, strap in, and get ready, people. This one is a doozy. A new company called Edible Anus is here to make your dreams come true. That's if your dreams are eating a chocolate mold of your significant other's butthole. For the reasonable price of $38.95.
Whoa.
In parentheses, it says, this could have been $3,000, and I might still have considered that reasonable for someone having to put chocolate in your asshole. Edible Anus will mail you 5 boxes of white milk and dark chocolate anuses. According to legend, or rather, real life, the company's founder, Magnus Irvin, didn't have the easiest time inventing his chocolate assholes. According to Irvin, the first time I poured the stuff in my bum and it all ran past me nuts into me face.
Ow, 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 ow.
Wait a minute.
Dripping on my chest.
Is that chocolate or? Anyways, and this is the box when it arrives is shockingly classy. I mean, look at that.
Ooh.
That looks nice. I mean, if that came to your door, you'd be like, oh, well, I got to open this up.
Edible anus.
It looks like really nice, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, if you're wanting to start a business, it's rare.
So listen to this backstory. So according to the company's website, the edible anus first saw the light of day in 2006 when the London artist Magnus Irvin made a range of them in a multicolored chocolate to present in an exhibition. It was at the ensuing show that he had met and formed a partnership with Mr. Redzema, a tall man of Dutch descent. Since then, the two of them have worked together to make a range of products available today. So initially, Mr. Irvin tried to cast his own anus with messy and disastrous results, whilst explaining his failure to a chance acquaintance at a bus stop. He was gratified to find that his fellow bus passenger was willing to allow him to cast her anus.
Of course.
The job was done, and just over a half an hour later that afternoon, and all subsequent anuses have been based on this casting. It is a matter of interest that the person who kindly donated her service has no idea that her anus has now gone global. Look at that presentation right there.
I don't get it. Like, why? I don't get it.
Dude, I don't know. But you have to really love chocolate. You have to really love buttholes. And it's a perfect Christmas gift.
It doesn't. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
I just don't know.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. But you could go see him on Instagram on Twitter at the Edible Anus. You can go check it out.
God.
So I didn't go to their
freaking weird world.
I know. I didn't go
That's
to their
a
Twitter
mad,
page.
Mad world.
it probably is. Should be a mad, mad world. But you know, Christmas is coming up. I just thought we should talk about some more Christmas. Ideas.
Doesn't sound too complicated. I'm going to pour it in my own butthole.
There's like, I think you can go to the website and there's like all these videos of people doing it. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously it doesn't show, but like they're all inverted trying to figure out how this is done to make the mold and send it in.
Oh, man. I don't know. My loved ones. Everybody have a piece of my butthole.
Eat my ass.
That's so weird.
I know, man. But anyways, I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, wonder what your wife, if she sees the history of your browser.
No, I did it at work, actually.
I don't want a chocolate beehole.
In case you're thinking of doing this, let me tell you right now.
There's no desire.
This is not going to happen. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This other article, this was
freaking weird. I know, man. I'm just disturbed by that.
So, you know Russia, right? Our good buddies over
I know
there.
Them.
We love our friends over in Russia.
We do.
They're like a constant source of like mad, mad world stuff. A constant source of, you know, making fun of them. And
where would we be without Russia?
I really don't know. But so let me read you this headline. Footage of an artificial intelligence robot that Russia state television used as an example of the country's technological prowess has been exposed as a man wearing a robot suit. No joke. So they were doing this big demonstration.
Man, it moved just like a real guy.
We are so good at making the robots, and this is the one we just made. And it shows like
I am robot.
Vladimir Putin, best in world.
We call everyone.
Would you like some vodka?
Superior rice.
Says is the Russia 24 news channel broadcast footage surprised. Of what it
that actually goes really well with what I'm going to talk about.
Of what it presented as Boris the dancing singing robot at a technology forum for school pupils. This Boris, he's robot. He's real. Definitely not man in suit.
Not even dressed up. Yeah. Hey, he looks just like a human.
He looked like flesh and blood, but not really.
He's robot.
But viewers and other journalists spotted some human-like movements and other discrepancies and discovered Boris was in fact a human wearing a robot costume sold by a Russian company. As the machine danced on stage, a presenter had said, at the forum, there's the opportunity to see state-of-the-art robots. Boris the robot has already learned to dance, and not badly at that. In the report, the robot also appeared to speak in a metallic voice as lights flashed on its face in different colors, saying, I'm good at math, but now I want to study art and musical composition. But images shared.
It's a genius robot.
This robot really good. That was sort of like a Mexican Russian. But images shared online from backstage at the event clearly showed a human inside a robot outfit, though a gap between the bodysuit through a gap between the bodysuit and the headpiece. Bloggers found the Robot Show website where the suit identical to the one shown in the news clip can be purchased. After the clip went viral, the 24 broadcast station, in an interview with a journalist who made the original report, said, I was absolutely sure everyone would realize it was a costume, like Santa Claus.
Right.
That was the project, that it was a project created for children.
How far can we go with this?
Dang it. This is going to make Vladimir look so good. He make this robot in spare time.
Yeah.
He take off his shirt, he fight bear, he make robot. He do these things, okay?
He's amazing.
Yeah. But anyways,
that's good. That sounds like Russia.
Yeah. That's some good
Let's
stuff.
Let's fake it, and how far can we get?
Yeah. Fake it till you make it, Russia.
Is that all your articles?
Yeah.
Man, that one was that actually goes really well with this.
Does
one.
It really?
Yeah. So let's talk about a really well-known conspiracy. Ooh. Of Area 51.
Ooh, man.
So tell me, like, right off the top of your head, what kind of things do you know about Area 51?
Area 51?
What, yeah, like, what?
I know, didn't we skateboard there in Tony Hawk? Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Which is funny because it's Roswell, New Mexico, but yet staged Area 51 because Area 51's in Nevada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know.
I guess like, that makes sense.
Good job.
Area 51. So I think, is that not the place that they say they took the spaceships that they found back in the day, right?
Yep, from Roswell.
From Roswell
crash.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so, I don't know.
Anything else beyond that? That's pretty much all I ever
I know there was
to.
A video game called Area 51. That, do you remember that one? It all comes back to video games.
Apparently. It's a video game producer, I believe.
I'm pretty sure it's just made for video games.
I think EA controls it, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Did you know, have you ever heard about the conspiracy of that it was staged by the Russians?
By the Russians?
Yeah.
No, I had never heard that.
No. Okay. We'll just get into it. It's pretty funny. So, Area 51 is about 80 miles north of Nellis Air Force Base.
This is in New Mexico, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So just up above. No, it's in Nevada.
Oh, it's in
Area 51 is in Nevada.
Oh yeah, Nevada, right?
Which, you know, I kind of always got those two confused a little bit too.
Yeah,
I was always thinking it was down in New Mexico, but the crash was in New Mexico at Roswell.
Mm.
So the two of them are tied together because that's where
they think they
the
took
alien
them.
Was taken up to Area 51 from Roswell,
and New all Mexico. The garbage and trash that they found there, right?
Right.
Remember that we were talking about that?
All the loiters.
There's a whole bunch of paper.
Pack it in, pack it out, aliens.
Yeah. So listen,
yes,
to this.
Yes. So this crash, this famous crash in Roswell. Was debunked. The U.S. said it was a crashed air balloon, not just your regular air balloon, but
right.
It was a nuclear balloon for nuclear. Monitoring.
Nuclear. You're telling me this sucker's nuclear?
Yeah. So they were, that's what all these parts came from.
Oh, okay.
But the area itself was, it's still a place that we suspect, we don't know, that the government's doing all this testing of, what is it? Reverse technology. So they're taking
reverse engineering.
Engineering. Yeah. So they're taking the alien technology and putting it into our technology.
Ooh.
So reverse technology is genius.
Yeah.
Smartest thing on earth. Anyway, some of the things that some Some of the things in here. So have you heard of the guy that kind of came forward and he was like an engineer and a scientist that gave a lot of information in 1979?
I think we may have briefly talked about that in our aliens episode too.
So his name was, he went by Dennis.
Dennis
was like his name on the base, I guess.
Oh.
Something. I guess that was his... It didn't really...
It was like, a base name?
It was like his chief. I guess, I don't know. Maybe everybody underneath his chief were called Dennis. Hey, little Dennis 1, Dennis 2. But his name was...
Guys, when I'm on base, call me Dennis. All right?
Excuse me. It's Dennis today, boys.
You want me to respond, you will call me Dennis.
So Bob Lazar was his name.
His name was Bob. And
Bob.
You want to be called Dennis.
Robert Lazar, but go by Bob.
Yeah.
But yeah, he went by Dennis on base. But before I get to him, so just some facts about Area 51. You know, like we talked about, it's up above Nevada. It's a testing site. So, you know, people are like, well, where's Area 1 through 50?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's like this large site where they have all these different, it's broken down, this area of testing. So Area 51 is a small part.
Oh, okay.
But there's landing strips there by aerial photos. And it's like, it's legit. Like, it's a nice base compared to like Nellis Air Force Base. They think that the strip is even better.
Oh.
So it was discovered by, I can't remember the guy's name, but when he saw it, he was like, the land is perfect for it. You know, it's already flat. It's covered. It has mountain. The what is the mountain range called right there? Nevada Mountain Range. No,
Sierra Nevada.
Anyway, it was like perfect because it was hidden and it already had like perfect formation for a landing strip. So yeah. it was just a dream come true for the naval forces
just going
and air
perfect
force.
Guys.
Yep. So it anyways. Testing and stuff had started there because of all the nuclear testing, and they were developing new technology. But then this crash occurred.
Yeah,
and
that was in the 50s.
That sped, right? Yep, that sped everything up because they supposedly took all that alien crash and took it to that site, and that's where they've done the reverse engineering, and that's a lot of stuff we don't even know.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of conspiracy that was also the location where, I'll get into this another time, but that's where it was staged for the moon landing.
The moon landing, yeah.
Was done at Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently it was perfect for that, too.
And that was like, didn't they think like Stanley Kubrick or something like did that, too?
Yeah.
Have you heard that part of it?
Oh, there's so much to go there. Anyways, so at that site, the U-2 spy plane was created there, ultra high altitude aircraft for reconnaissance.
Was that Bono's plane?
Groom Lake. So the Groom Mountain Range and the Groom Lake, those are the two things that are right there. So anyways, perfect site for testing. I mean, I love how everybody's so focused on the aliens, but yet they've disregarded all the freaking poisonous nuclear bombs and testing they've done there. They're like, what about aliens? It's like, that's like the least of our worries. Of all the other garbage.
It's all the radioactive fallout.
Right. So anyway, so this guy by the name of A.K.A. Dennis. Bob.
Robert.
Lazar, yeah. So I got to read his little interview. So he actually... So he had like broke down some of the things that he saw and those are the things I want to talk about. But anyways, if you go and like research where he came from, it was all debunked that he didn't go to MIT, that he wasn't part of the laboratory in Texas. But his claim is that they erased him off the face of the earth. Like,
oh, really?
They took away everything to back up.
Oh,
you know, his statements. Yeah. They basically made him a nobody, which I'm like, man,
that's
the government
possible.
Could wipe that out.
Yeah.
So this guy, Bob Lazar, he came on this, it was in 1989, the interview, November 11th, 1989. And you can go and listen to it even online.
Oh, they have the audio file.
So they were asking him about Area 51, and he said, the interviewer questions, you know, have you ever seen something you can't explain? And he said, sure, lots of times. Care to elaborate? And he kind of breaks it down a little bit. He said, well, there's several, nine flying saucers, flying discs there out there of extraterrestrial origin that we have. And he said, like I said, he went by Dennis there, and he said, after he kind of come forth that he was going to talk about this stuff, he said, my superior that goes by Dennis called him, and he said he called right after and said, "Do you have any idea what we're going to do to you now?" And then hung up the phone.
He just hung up.
That's all.
Wait, and so his superior's name was Dennis too?
Yeah, no, let me see. It says, "The choice of Dennis was an inside joke. He says that's the name of his superior at Groom Lake. It wasn't a joke."
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
So he kind of went by, like, entailed a few people on this project.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said this stuff came from somewhere else. I know it's hard to believe, but it's there, and I saw it. And I know what the current state of the art is in physics, and it cannot be done. So his background is that he's a physicist, and you mm-hmm. know, he's worked on several different electronics and boosters, and so he had all this background. Mm-hmm. But when he saw this technology there, he's like, "Yeah, we can't build this. It's crazy." But some of the quotes, this is where I freaking loved it. He said, "It's a very interesting building. You know, when you go in, it's got a slope of about 30 degrees, which and has hangar doors. It's got a textured paint on it that looks like sand, probably to blend into the mountainside so nobody can see it, or satellite photographs." And he said, "The power source of these disks in there, the UFOs, are antimatter reactors. They run gravity amplifiers. There's actually two parts to the drive mechanism. It's a bizarre technology. There's no physical hookups between any of the systems in there. They use gravity as a wave, using waveguides to look like microwaves."
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, either the guy's a genius and just lost his mind, or he really knows what he's talking about. So he's like, this is where I'm like, this gets really weird. He said, "Right. So they asked him, what did you see in there?" He said, "Well, they had a poster, and it looked like a commercial poster, like it was a lithographed, but you could buy it at Kmart or someplace."
He's really said that.
Kmart. But they were all over the place, and they had like this disc like picture on them.
Uh huh.
And it was coined, and then they coined the term the floor model, which lifted off the ground about 3 feet out of an area in the Dry Lakes area. And the caption said, "They're here." That was like the poster. It was in this Area 51. Makes no sense.
That is weird.
"When I was let in, it was the first time that I saw the floor model in the hangar sitting down, and I was told they could have walked me in the front door, but they purposely wanted me to walk by it. I was told not to say anything and to keep my eyes forward, and as I walked past the disc to the office area, I did, and as I went by it, I just kind of stuck my hand out on it and run it alongside." That part's like, oh, dang. Oh. Mm. This is good.
Yeah.
And so he kind of stuck his hand out and ran along. And after that, I got to see it actually lift off the ground and operate. You can actually, in the interview, is like, "You actually got to see one?" He said, "Yeah, the hangars are all connected together. There's a large bay door between each one. And there were 9 total that I saw, each one being different, like they had an assortment pack."
This is
our XLT model. That one over there is platinum.
And this is F-150.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, this one's our basic standard package. This one
basic
here.
Basic gravity antimatter.
We put guns on this one. This is a nice one. This one's, I was like, it's so funny. And then he said, the security at S4, this is the location that had these discs. He said, "Did they brainwash you or they do anything intimidating?" And he said, "They did everything but physically hurt me." And they said, "What, they put a gun to your head?" "Yeah." "You mean they actually put a gun to your head?" "They did that even in the original security briefing. Guards there with M16s, guys slamming their fingers into my chest." Slamming their fingers. Boink, 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 boink. "Did that hurt?" "And screaming into my ear, they were pointing weapons at me. Like I said, it's not a good place to work."
It's kind of not like the best place.
Oh, man. I got to go back to work today and get screamed at.
My chest hurts.
But at least I get a touch of the disc.
My boobies hurt from getting chest touched.
Anyways, he worked on this stuff and worked with the reverse engineering to put it into, you know, modern technology that we have now. And a lot of stuff, supposedly, we've never even seen. But he said, "I'm telling you the truth. I've tried to prove that. What's going on up there could be most important event in history. You're talking about contact, physical contact and proof from another planet, another system, another intelligence. It's the biggest thing in history, and it's real, and it's there, and I had an extremely small part in it. I'm convinced that I was absolutely that I am absolute proof of that. There is no way that we could have created those discs. There is no way we could have made those discs. The power supplies, anything that goes with it, we couldn't have done it. So jeez. He saw those and he touched them and he said they got an assortment pack.
Dennis knows.
Yeah. So
wow.
Anyways, so there's this guy and they actually ran lie detector tests on him and they came back fine.
Oh geez.
You know, but they say with the lie detector test, it's hard to distinguish deceiving versus, you know, actual lying. So somebody that's convinced that they think they know, you know, those tests aren't foolproof.
It's not a lie if you believe
but
it.
He saw them and they're there. So the other thing about Area 51 is that it was staged by the USSR.
Ooh.
This
how did that happen?
I have never heard this one. So anyway, so in 1947 when these crashes occurred, during that time, the G2 intelligence, which was the Army Intelligence Corps, they spent a ton of money searching for two men that were associated with the Third Reich of World War II, the German forces, anyways, named Walter and Reimar Horton. And so
was this in the United States or
in
Germany?
The United States was seeking these two men because they had allegedly created a flying disc.
Oh.
And so American intelligence were like trying to find him to find out more about this. In fact, the fact that they had made this flying disc. And, you know, the wonder is why. Why were they looking for him so hard? Because if you read the documents, apparently this person here had compiled all these, this person had researched for years to obtain all these different interviews and things from the government. But this, they admit that the Horton brothers had contact with the Russians during this time that they had created this disc. So the brothers were involved in flying a disc that crashed in New Mexico. So within that disc were there were bodies in it, and it was a flying disc that had been created. So what had happened is the Russians had no way and no ability to compete in the nuclear race.
Yeah.
So the only way that they could counter that was by creating an event that was clear outside of everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Is to make an alien invasion to distract the United States from
sure.
All that.
Yeah.
So they crashed this disc, and inside it was they had made this disc fly and crash into the desert. And according to sources, inside were child-sized pilots. He believes they were about 13, although other people say they may have been older. This was this interview that she got was from a firsthand witness that had decided to release some of this information. So inside it were two dead bodies of like kids.
Like Russian kids?
Yeah. Like 13-year-old kids they had like altered.
Oh, they altered them.
Make them look kind of alien.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. So this disc crashed. I'd never heard anything like this.
I've never heard this either.
So the Russians had staged this to basically distract from nuclear development because that was the big thing, and that was the way to control the war.
Oh my god!
The Russians wanted to be part of it; they couldn't, so they created and found these.
But this was like, that happened after the war was over, right?
Yeah, but the Cold War stuff was
okay. The Cold War stuff was going on, but World War II was done, and they'd already dropped bombs.
So Russia, to get ahead, decided to throw everything off.
By staging
an alien invasion. Anyways,
jeez.
But this guy had like worked with the bodies and putting them into that disc and flying it and crashing it. And so,
wow,
isn't that weird?
That's weird. I've never heard that one before.
So yeah,
I like that.
So the Soviets had staged this hoax of an alien invasion to delay the United States' ability to develop more weapons and everything,
more and better, and
especially. They crashed it near the site of testing, which would make it even more concerning.
Yeah.
Like the aliens were watching our development of nuclear
weapons.
That
makes sense.
So crazy.
Wow.
Area 51. There's so much more going on there.
No, that's a good one. I like Area 51.
That's crazy, huh?
There's lots of good stuff.
I never
there.
Had heard about the Russians being involved.
No, I haven't heard that one either. There's so many weird little conspiracy theories like that, like offshoots of this conspiracy theory that are like different. You know?
I know.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's like so
it's
weird.
All connected.
Yeah, it's all connected, man.
All these conspiracy theories are connected by the same source, the government.
Wow. Well, guys.
Anyways, hopefully you learned something new.
I want to hear
The Russians.
I want you guys.
What do you think about Area 51?
Yeah, I know. Like, here we go. Guys, we don't have to believe you, but please send us some information on this.
Yeah,
we want to read it because
it's fun.
We're not going
to make fun of you.
Well, we might. We might make fun of you, yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah. You have to think, you know, it is probably a little extreme.
Yeah.
But I mean, Area 51 exists. It's a testing site.
Yes.
And I do believe that they are creating like far advanced technology.
Yeah.
Did it come from alien? I don't know.
I don't know.
Do they think it came from alien, but yet it came from Russia? That's possible.
Could be. I don't know, man. Russia's good at deceiving.
Obviously.
We just found out.
They tried to pull a swift one on everybody again.
I know.
We got this crazy robot army. No, they don't.
No, they don't. They got Halloween costumes. That's what they got.
Yep. So, Area 51,
cool, man. I like
a lot
that.
In there.
Yeah, I like that. Next week, or next time, we'll have to find another. Maybe we'll talk about moon landing.
I think, yeah, maybe we'll talk about the moon landing.
Or hey, maybe you guys should just send us what you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
That might be fun.
Tell us about some of the conspiracy theories that you're struggling with.
Yeah, which ones?
Which ones can you just not determine?
Which ones are messing with your mind grapes? Huh? Which ones?
Which ones keep you up at night?
Squishing no mind grapes into nothing.
We can get more information for you.
Yeah, we got the hookups.
We got some good interviews and sources.
Mm, yeah.
The internet.
Anyways, that's all I got. You got anything else today?
No, I just,
that's fun stuff.
Yeah.
So that's good fun
sit
stuff.
Sit on that. Struggle with it. See how you feel.
Take that home and struggle with it. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, appreciate you guys listening and subscribing and whatnot. And
get your buttholes poured.
Get your buttholes chocolated all up.
You only have like 2 more weeks until Christmas. Yeah. Get those buttholes.
Got to do it quick. It's not a quick process. It's delicate.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Nah. All right. See you guys.